We are on lesson number 32, if you need lesson 32, but here's the trick. I also have lesson 33 for you, and so if you need either lesson 32 or lesson 33, raise your hand, and an usher will bring those to you. So lesson 32, it is good to have the Kevin Robb family with us. How many of you remember the Robbs? They were here, we think, 4 years ago or so. Okay, a couple of you do. And they dropped in on their way going north, and so it's good to have them. And he's going to preach this morning. They're going to sing, and they're a blessing. Good family. We enjoy their fellowship. So it is good to have them here. And they have chosen the Sunday school class where the bread is from the Word and not from biscuits. Amen? So actually, Brother Tim does give out the Word as well. But anyway, praise the Lord. We're excited. So, Revelation 16:1 is our memory verse for lesson 32, which I do anticipate finishing today. And so let's go ahead and say that. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 16:1, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth.'" Revelation 16:1. And again, Revelation 16:1. "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth.'" Revelation 16:1. Father, we're reminded again that you are a God that has wrath and anger, and it is just, it is right, and one day it will be poured out on this earth. And it is hard to imagine the wrath that will take place. And Father, I pray that you help us to do all that we can to get people saved and to keep getting the gospel in our community, in our area, and Lord, on the mission field, and just doing our part that folks will get saved and they'll never know that wrath. I'm so glad I'll never, ever know the wrath of God because you took it out on your Son for me on the cross of Calvary. And so I pray that you'll bless our Sunday school time, be with every class all over our property, guide and direct, save anyone who's never heard the gospel, someone that's not saved that maybe has been convicted. Please save them today. Give us a great day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are on section number 6, believe it or not, out of 7 sections. If you recall, I think 3 years ago, we started on the book of Revelation, and I gave you 7 sections. And, of course, it seemed so far away, section 6, and yet it has, it's to me, it's gone very fast, and yet we know it's been around 3 years. But section number 6 is the anger of God, and covering chapters 14 through 19. And this lesson, lesson 32, dealing with Revelation 16, is God's attack on the earth. And the vials are poured out, and we've already covered most of them. But by way of review, we said, number 1, he attacks the followers of the beast. And again, these vials, these are, no question about it, these are the wrath of God, God's anger. And, you know, amazingly, God has been long-suffering to usward. And I'm so glad that, he was long-suffering before I got saved, and he was long-suffering till I got saved. And there's people I'm praying for, there's people you're praying for, and we want the rapture to take place, but we don't, because we want him to get saved. But he attacks the followers of the beast. It's hard to believe that anybody would follow the beast, isn't it? It really is. And yet in that time especially, we see in our time today, we see people following the dragon, the devil, Satan. And in that day, it will be very, very easy to to follow the beast. And they will. And this sore that is on the followers of the beast, it will not only be very painful, it will also identify them. It'll be very obvious who is a follower of the beast, God's people, those who have gotten saved during the time, they will not receive this problem. Again, remember this, as we've emphasized it, especially talking about the vials. Saved people never, never incur the wrath of God, ever. We're not ever going to know the wrath of God. You say, oh, God chastened me the other day. That's not God's wrath. That's God's love. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Don't ever get that mixed up. You know, you say, well, when I spank my kids, I'm mad. Well, there's an altar, and you can get right with God about that, because you shouldn't be. You should be loving them when you spank them. That's what discipline is all about. Doesn't mean you like what they did, but you still love them. Anyway, that's another subject. So he attacks the followers of the beast. Then he attacks the sea. We talked about it becomes as blood. And again, a reminder, those who like to go to the oceans, those who like to watch the waves break, and it is a beautiful thing. My wife and I love that. You know, that day when it becomes like blood, it's not going to be beautiful. And there's death all around. It's going to be terrible. He attacks the rivers in number 3, verses 4 to 7. And again, this is drinking water. And we just experienced in the city of Toledo and surrounding areas, all that had the water from Toledo, that crisis where there was no water. And they couldn't drink their water. They couldn't bathe. Whew, boy, did it smell. But anyway, the water, the algae, problem and everything. Well, this is going to make that look like just a wonderful occasion. This is going to be blood in the water, and so we know that it obviously doesn't last the whole time, because man cannot live without water. But somewhere in here, again, there will be this attack on the drinking waters. And again, there's always that parallel with Egypt. We've been talking about that. Always that parallel in God, the plagues to the Egyptians. Back in Exodus 7. Then he attacks the sun, and he blots out the sun. Again, not the first time that's happened with the sun. God wants, again, as we think about the plagues on the Egyptians, we are also comparing with the idea God wants the whole world to know, I'm God. I'm the capital G God. There isn't any other God. I'm God. He wants the world to know that. And so all these people that want to worship the sun, God says, okay, fine, but understand the sun is just a small g, God, and all it is in your mind. The sun can't do anything. In fact, watch this. And God just turns the dial however he chooses, or he just speaks, or he just thinks it, and the sun's blotted out. And God attacks the sun. In this case, he scorches man. He turns the dial up, and he burns the men. Again, the sun belongs to God. Amen. In Egypt, he blotted out the sun, but here he turns the sun up. But then he attacks the kingdom of the beast, and this is where he blots out the sun. And he makes it darkness. Again, just to prove, you know, God says, I can control that sun. The sun's nothing. We look at the sun and say, oh, no. You know, and you every now and then, a solar flare is headed our way. You know, you read that kind of thing. And what will we do when the solar flare, when it breaks away and it comes all the way? And, well, what will we do? We'll run. We'll hide. What do you mean? What, we get our umbrella? I don't know. What do you mean? What are we going to do? But God says, the sun, I have no problem with the sun. And so when he attacks the kingdom of the beast, it is this darkness, like in Exodus, a darkness that is attack on the seat of the beast, which is the throne of the beast. And of course, again, so they go from the solar burning of the sun to the darkness where the sun's blotted out. And again, just you say, boy, I bet people get right with God then. No, the Bible says they blaspheme in darkness. They just blaspheme God. No interest in repentance. No interest in getting right with God. They blaspheme God. And then we came to last week, we talked about how he attacks the land. The finale is very, very near. And the Bible, verses 17 to 21, and we kind of ended up here. Excuse me, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. Amen. It is done. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Price paid. Amen. And here the angel says, it is done. The wrath of God, the finale is near. It is done. Again, price paid for sin. Jesus said, it is finished. And here it is done. God's the end of the judgments, the end of the plagues on the earth. This last one is huge. It is devastating. And then we didn't mention this last week, Revelation 21 and verse 6. If you want to just kind of look ahead there, you say, oh, we'll be there next week. No, maybe next year. And he said unto me, it is done. There it is again. Three times, Jesus one time, he said, it is finished. Then the angel said, it is done. And then here in Revelation 21, 6, he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And again, you know, that's when the new heaven and the new earth are here. And so it is done. God's plan, and we'll get there. Talk about that, and Lord willing, we'll get there. Again, we may get there all together in heaven after the rapture, and we'll go ahead and finish our lesson. In fact, we'll just let Jesus go ahead and finish the lesson. That'll be good. I don't know that he would follow my same outline, but anyway, that is good. So, it is done. It is done. The judgments, the plagues, the wrath of God, it is done. Verse 18, there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Now, don't miss what that says, because again, we have to, you know, we sometimes read Revelation and we read it too fast because we don't stop and think. And I realize we're all the saved people have already been gone. We don't know what time this all takes place. We believe it's toward the end of the tribulation, obviously. And so we've already been in heaven possibly over 6 years. And we've had a wonderful time. But don't misunderstand. There was a great earthquake. Don't just gloss over that. Because it was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. In other words, there's never been one greater. So mighty an earthquake and so great. So let's not miss that. But before we get to that, let's look at these voices. Now, we had voices another time. How about at the beginning of the tribulation, chapter 4, verse 5. Again, that would have been like 2 years ago. We talked about that. Chapter 4 and verse 5. I believe Brother Glenn is passing out the next lesson. Thank you. Out of the chapter 4, verse 5, out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Huh. There's those voices again at the beginning of the tribulation. And chapter 8 and verse 5, somewhere in the middle of the tribulation, chapter 8 and verse 5, the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And again, there we again had an earthquake, and we probably read it and just said, oh, that's cute. Okay, these are devastating things. But these voices, hearing these voices, you know, are they voices of those saying it's about time? You know, I mean, seriously, are they? Do you ever think that way? It is about time. I sometimes wonder how God puts up with me. Amen. Do you ever wonder how God puts up with you? How, you know, because we fail and we have a streak of doing right for about 5 minutes. And then we mess up again. Our thoughts go wacky, and we do things, you know. And but especially as you look at our world and you look at things that are going on right now, you think, what is God waiting on? You know, how is God able to wait? And maybe the voices, they're all pondering that. I can almost hear, you know, and talking about that. So these voices, very, very significant. And then this earthquake. Now, the greatest earthquake ever, I believe anyway, January 23rd, 1556, took place in China. 830,000 people died. Now, again, that's buildings were inferior and all that. But this will be greater than that earthquake. I have this idea and understanding this is a worldwide type of an earthquake, and it will affect everyone. But again, it is greater than that. And the Bible does talk about the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, verse 19, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God. I kind of like that. I like that reading. Because our next two chapters deal really with Babylon. And you will see, and it's a great study. It really is. You're gonna enjoy that. But the way that it came in remembrance before God. It's like it the way I read that. It's like God said, "Oh yeah, Babylon." Not that he ever really forgot, because he's God. But it's like, you know, I didn't write it. God wrote it. He chose to put it that way. It's like, I'm dealing with Babylon, and you'll see why as we study that. But the great city Babylon, possibly, it talks about the great city divided into three parts, and then it makes reference to great Babylon. So are those the same? The Bible doesn't say. I don't know if they are. The great city could be Jerusalem here, but we know that great Babylon is also in there. And so what is the great city here? I don't know. Revelation 11:8, we do have a reference getting the idea of Jerusalem being also involved in this. Revelation 11 and verse 8, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, talking about the witnesses, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Again, you have an idea of, well, where is this great city? Zechariah 14 and verse 4, if you want to go back there, just references. As we've talked about in Revelation, there is a lot of subjectivity where the Bible doesn't say, and therefore we're not going to try to say, amen. Although I did kind of, as far as the two witnesses, I still think it's Enoch and Elijah. But you can't, since we can't prove it, we don't... The Bible didn't say. Zechariah 14:4, his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. So we have the cleaving of the city. So again, this earthquake is huge, all right? And Babylon is being remembered. The great city is being divided three ways. This is what I think with this earthquake. I believe the topography of the world will change drastically. Why? Because verse 20, and every island fled away and the mountains were not found. Now, why would an island have a problem with an earthquake? Anybody know? Come on, we just, it isn't that long ago. Tsunami, very good. And there was a time we didn't talk about tsunamis, but boy, recently have we talked about tsunamis. Haiti and Indonesia and Japan and all of that, the result of an earthquake. Now, this is the greatest earthquake. And if, in fact, the jolt is worldwide, what is that going to do with water? Remember how a tsunami, it's a jarring of the water at a point because of an earthquake. And then just like if you throw a stone in the water, it splashes, but then the ripples ripple out. That's a tsunami. It's a ripple. Well, it's a big ripple. They talk about a mountain on the western side of Africa. And you know how all of the hurricanes follow the Atlantic Ocean up into the United States. Well, they talk about this one mountain, a volcano, and if that top of that were to fall off and land in the ocean, that the tsunami caused from that would destroy the east coast of the United States of America. You say, oh, that scares me. It doesn't scare me. I don't live on the... No. But anyway, my point is that if a mountain, I know it's a hunk. I mean, it's a big chunk of rock, but that falls, and we did talk about this earlier in one of the judgments, but that falls into the ocean. Just try to imagine this jolt of this great earthquake and the Atlantic and the Pacific and you know, all the great oceans and what is going to happen. Well, the Bible says every island fled away. In other words, the idea is that the earthquake is so vast that the islands are covered with water and the mountains are all knocked down. Because it says, and the mountains were not found. I mean, I'm talking about all the Rocky Mountain range. This earthquake is so vast that they're just all knocked down. The Appalachians are knocked down. All the mountains, I didn't write it. The Bible's very clear, though, the mountains were not found. It is a huge, huge earthquake. There is no question about that. When the Bible says the cities of the nations, back in verse 19, and the cities of the nations fell, you have the great city divided into three parts. You have Babylon coming into remembrance, but then you have the cities of the nations. What's that mean? You know, it would seem that major cities are devastated. You say, well, there's, you know, it's already been very devastating. Oh, it's been very devastating. I would much rather be eating T-bone steak at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Yeah. T-bone steak, fried taters and onions. Do you know how long it's been since I've had fried? It's been a long time. Since diet days, you know. I miss my fried taters and onions. Chocolate pie. Glory to God. Green beans with ham or bacon grease and chunks of bacon, ham. Amen. I mean, if you have to eat green beans, you know, you might as well have them with bacon and grease. And in heaven, we can do all the well, bacon. I don't know. Are we allowed to eat pork? But anyway, so the point is, it is going to be absolutely devastating. We can't even begin to imagine how bad this is going to be. Now, again, what is this all about? It's all about the wrath of God. And he has every right to be angry. You'd better believe he does. Every right to be angry. And so, Babylon, all the major cities, but it says Babylon. God, remember, he came to his remembrance. Babylon, especially Babylon. Next two chapters, we deal with Babylon. Whatever form Babylon is, okay? I will present to you, Babylon means a lot of things. Is there an actual city of Babylon? For years, I've had people, oh, Babylon, New York. You know, there's a little suburb of New York called Babylon, which why in the world? It's kind of like Hell, Michigan. Why do you name your city something like that? But anyway, there is a little suburb outside of New York City, and you know, oh, we know this to be, well, no, you don't. But where, in reality, Babylon originally would be where Iraq is, and isn't it interesting that Iraq is sure in the news a lot, isn't it? Yes, and it will continue to be. And back in chapter 14, verse 19, we had another reference. The angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. This is, again, this idea of the winepress. Everything that goes in the winepress is crushed. And that is the wrath of God. You know, everything. Babylon, we're talking about utter destruction of this. So, again, we have this idea, great Babylon came in remembrance before God. God, it's not the city, it's what it stands for. And we will talk about that starting next week in the next chapter, dealing with Babylon, mystery Babylon, the harlot, the great whore, the Bible says. Babylon and what all of that is. Verse 21, here's the other thing now. So you had this earthquake. Again, how many of you ever been in an earthquake? We were in California once and we felt a shock of an earthquake. Didn't do any damage. We were in a motel. We ran out into the yard and everybody else just was doing their, you know, we're, you know, looking around like, oh, and these people, they don't care. It's like, oh, this happens all the time. What are you worried about? But can't even imagine. Can't imagine a worldwide earthquake, you know? But that's not the end. Don't sell this vial short. Don't say, well, that's not so bad. It's devastating. Devastating. By the way, when there's an earthquake, okay, tornado, you go to the basement. Hurricane, you go inland, right? You have warning. I mean, hurricanes, we have a lot of warning. We go inland. We get away. Unless you're a dummy and you say, I'm staying in my house and I'm going to fight the ocean, you know, halt. But, you know, all these big, all these catastrophes that take place. But here's the one. What do you do about an earthquake? Unless you have a helicopter. Yeah, that's exactly right. Earthquake. Oh, I'll go to my basement. Well, that might not be a good idea. I don't know. I don't know if there's anything more devastating than an earthquake, other than one other devastating thing, and that is ushers coming and getting an offering. That's always devastating, isn't it? Amen. All right, ushers, if you'll do that, I'll keep going. I'm going to finish this. Do not underestimate this hailstorm. Verse 21, there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. It was exceeding great. Now, what's the largest hailstone anybody's seen? Let's talk about it. How many of you ever seen a hailstone the size of a dime? I have two. How about the size of a golf ball? I have two. How about the size of a baseball? I've seen them the size, about like a fist. You ever seen a hailstone like that? Or maybe a softball, all right? Anybody ever seen a hailstone the size of a grapefruit? I never have seen one that big. But I've seen them about like that. In fact, a few years ago, the hailstorm that came through here and did all kinds of damage during the fair ministry. We'll never forget it because folks at the fair, they were running into our tent. We had two couples get saved during that hailstorm, and that was a blessing. They had to come in the tent because it was hailing so bad. But now that's I don't know how much that would weigh. I should have looked that up, but that's pretty big. And if you're driving, you know, 55 mile an hour, and that is driven by the wind down and its own weight and all that, that probably cracks or maybe even breaks your windshield, would you think? Okay, a talent, about the weight of a talent, every stone about the weight of a talent. Does anybody know how much that weighs? Anywhere from 100 to 200 pounds. Now, I want you to just think about that. Just think about it, that hailstone. That's a lot. That's unbelievable. It's hard even to imagine. That just fell. That 100 pounds just fell from the sky and landed on someone or something. It is devastating to think about that. Doesn't say if it was the entire earth or some regions, it does not say. We know that it can't be everywhere because you wouldn't be able to survive. I mean, unless you're in a cave or underground or something. But again, who's going to be underground when an earthquake just took place, the biggest earthquake ever? Where is everybody? Like I said, when we were in the earthquake in Los Angeles, we went outside immediately. I mean, as soon as we felt the shake, and it wasn't long, it wasn't big. But I mean, we're outside. So earthquake takes, I mean, you don't go to your basement. You don't go inside. You're outside, and now a hailstorm. With hail 100 to 200 pounds, every hailstone weighs that much. Wow. Obviously, there are survivors, so you have to think that it wasn't necessarily worldwide, but somehow It is huge. It is absolutely huge. Now, you know, you got to think. All wicked establishments are either destroyed or damaged. Strip clubs, bars, drug places, you know, and whatever man comes up with in the near future, it's all wiped out. Do you think God should be angry about all those things? Yeah, well, not only that, but how about someone who, some place where they teach that you have to work your way to heaven? I'll be honest with you, an establishment like that, that teaches you have to work your way to heaven, to me, it's sent more people to hell maybe than the bar or the strip joint or the house of prostitution. Yeah. Boom. False religious buildings, cults, temples, they're gone. I mean, they are going to be devastated. And what's the result of that? Men fall on their knees and beg God to forgive them. No, men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail. Now again, here's a situation where they know where it's coming from. We get to a place in the tribulation, and several times the scripture has been very, very clear. Men blaspheme God. Have you ever wondered where, and pardon the way I have to say this, cursing, God damn this. You ever wonder where that ever came from? How do people start saying those words? Well, it's because people know. I don't care. We're not religious. We don't believe in God. Why do you use his name so much? Do you know, before I got saved, I didn't believe in God. But I used his name multiple times a day as a teenager. And it was always that way. And isn't it amazing? It's always when something goes wrong. It's always when we're not happy about something. In that day, there is no question. These people, they know. We hate God. I mean, we today the cover-up, the big cover-up is, oh, yeah, we're religious. We believe in God. We do all this. Well, why don't you believe his word then? Oh, no, don't criticize that. I mean, we believe God. We No, if you don't believe, why don't you trust his son then? Why don't you do what he said if you believe? You know, the Bible says that the demons, it talks about the devils, the demons of Satan's demons. They believe in God, and they tremble. There's no cover-up in that day. Here's what men will do. They will shake their fist, and they will say, we hate God. And all that is bringing together the Battle of Armageddon. We think, how do men think somehow they're ever, well, how'd the devil think he could fight God? How do you and I think we can disobey God? In that day, they will blaspheme boldly God with no pretense of, oh, we're religious. There's none of that. It's we hate God. It's hard for our minds to fathom that, but that is the way it's going to be. And thus, we end chapter 16. And we end at lesson 32. And just take a look, if you will, at lesson number 33. And we come to the abolishment of Babylon. We will cover two chapters, Revelation 17 and 18. And we will divide Babylon into two. We divide it into ecclesiastical Babylon and then economic Babylon. I do want to remind you, this is my own outline. I've not followed any other. There are so many outlines of the book of Revelation. I don't think they're wrong and I'm right. I just did it the easy way, the way that I studied it. And I've divided Babylon by chapter, Revelation 17, ecclesiastical Babylon, and then Revelation 18, I call economic Babylon, and God abolishes. I mean, he wipes out Babylon. And that, understand, Revelation 17 and 18 is all part, I believe, of those vile judgments. It is all happening within all that. I don't think it's necessarily a separate action, but it is obviously recorded separately by God, so we get it. God wants us to understand his hatred of Babylon. Okay, and we need to realize it. We're in a day, because I'll just give you a hint. I've run totally out of time, but it's okay. I know who's going to run the next service, so it's all right. But listen, folks, you got to understand something. Babylon is called Mystery Babylon. It is a religion. It always has been a religion. It is the cosmos in the Greek. It is the world, and it is totally opposed to God, and has been, always has been. And its first preacher, if you will, was Nimrod. And I'm telling you, God despises anything that is not according to his word and his will. We have this idea, well, we can just get along with, I'm going to be nice to everybody. I'm nice to unsaved people. But I'm not holding hands with something that is not according to this book. I'm just not going to do it. And why? Because I see what God does to Babylon. And I know what Babylon is. Amen. That just gives you a little taste of it. The Robs are going to want to come back just to hear this next lesson. I can tell.